I mean, that's the White House FEMA briefing that we just played the audio from, and there are reports that he is not calling Governor Ron
DeSantis.
This is
the definition of hard to believe. Like, it's hard to believe. I will believe it, but it's hard to believe this White House is so stupid and so reckless. And that's coming from someone who thinks the White House is generally stupid and reckless, and that Joe Biden is an incompetent and the people around him are buffoons. But, you know, I think we all know what's coming here. If there is, I mean, this is a very bad storm, and our thoughts and prayers are with the folks of Florida. We're hoping you're all prepared and doing everything you can. If there is an opportunity here to score the cheapest of political points against Ron DeSantis,
100%.
They're going to go all in on this. For a lot of the left, a lot of Democrats, Hurricane Katrina, and remember George W. Bush, who's the president? He wasn't the governor of Louisiana. Hurricane Katrina was the beginning of the real destruction of Bush and the Bush presidency for a lot of the Democrat media. I think they will politicize this hurricane against Ron DeSantis the first chance they get, and we all know that. And the fact the White House isn't speaking to him, I think, goes right to that issue.
They may feel some pressure now that it's been asked about in the White House press briefing that we just played for you. So maybe now Joe Biden will reach out. But calling the three mayors first is pretty indefensible.
Joe Biden should already have made a call and should be he should be calling Ron DeSantis and saying, everything else aside, what do you need? What can I do to help you? That's it. Anything else is unacceptable.
Amen.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. On the front lines of truth.
The last couple of years have been bumpy for business owners. How about a break? If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. This is not a loan. It's a refund of your taxes. The challenge is getting your hands on it.
Go to GetRefunds.com. The team of tax attorneys they've put together are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program and have already returned $1 billion to businesses. They can help you, too.
They do all the work with no charges up front and share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, and even those that had increases in sales.
Go to GetRefunds.com. Click on Qualify Me and answer a few questions. This payroll tax refund is available for a limited amount of time. That's GetRefunds.com. GetRefunds.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey there, I'm Lance Bass, and this is Chip. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been on the front lines protecting animals in times of crisis. From Pearl Harbor to 9/11... the California wildfires, and the coronavirus pandemic. American Humane Rescue has provided life-saving assistance for animals in virtually every major national disaster. If you're anything like me, your pets mean the world to you. And if disaster strikes, you want to keep them safe. To prepare for an oncoming disaster, ensure your pet has secure and up-to-date identification. And if you must evacuate, remember to take your disaster preparedness kit with you. To learn more about disaster planning and how to keep your best friends safe, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Biden has been briefed by FEMA on Hurricane Ian as it approaches Florida. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
After updating the president, FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell told reporters that Hurricane Ian is expected to slow down once it makes landfall between Fort Myers and Tampa.
And this is significant because what this means is that Floridians are going to experience the impacts from this storm for a very long time.
She says storm surge is the biggest concern and urges local residents to heed any evacuation orders. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The National Hurricane Center says significant wind and storm surge impacts have occurred in western Cuba. Ian struck with sustained top winds of 125 miles per hour, as much as 14 feet of storm surge predicted along Cuba's coast. Also at townhall.com, the Heritage Foundation finds that Americans have lost an average of $4,000 in income because of inflation. Bernie Bennett has more.
New economic numbers show the average American has lost an equivalent of $4,200 in annual income under the Biden administration because of inflation and high interest rates. Under former President Trump's low inflation economy, the average American worker's annual earnings increased by $4,000. The Heritage Foundation finds that this has been completely wiped out in about a year and a half under the Biden administration. The Daily Mail reports that wage growth in the U.S. has risen to its highest in years, but workers say their pay increases are not keeping pace with increased costs of everyday goods. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Less than 50% of voters believe the country is headed in the right direction. 29% think the country is headed in the right direction, according to a new Rasmussen Reports national telephone and online survey. The Dow is down 84 points, but the NASDAQ is ahead 24. More at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy.
If you wanted to hurt American families, what would you do? Would you open our borders, allowing deadly drugs and human trafficking to spread across our country? Would you turn federal agencies like the FBI and IRS into political weapons? Would you cause the worst inflation in a generation, then shift the debts of the wealthy onto the backs of working families? That's what Joe Biden and Catherine Cortez Masto have done. We need to fight back. We need Adam Laxalt. When government tried to strip our water and property rights, Adam Laxalt fought and won. When Big Pharma was profiting off addiction, Adam Laxalt fought them and won. When gun rights and religious liberties were under threat, Adam fought for Nevada and won. We're in a fight between what's right and what the left has done to America. Adam Laxalt will fight for us.
I'm Adam Laxalt, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Laxalt for Senate.
It's 12:04, and this is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Las Vegas City Councilwoman Victoria Seaman has filed a lawsuit against fellow Councilwoman Michelle Fiore, claiming Fiore assaulted her during a well-known altercation at City Hall last year. Seaman also is alleging city officials engaging in a conspiracy to hide and destroy evidence of the alleged assault. Seaman and Fiore were once good friends and political allies until they had a falling out in June of 2020. Seaman says the friendship ended after she noticed Fiore's bullying personality. She's seeking general and punitive damages. Fiore and city officials have yet to respond to that lawsuit. After 98 straight days of declines, gas prices, as you probably have noticed, have spiked in Las Vegas, topping $5 a gallon once again. AAA reports the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gas yesterday in Las Vegas was $5.09. That's up from $4.85 last seen in the Vegas Valley on September 19th. Energy experts say oil refinery maintenance, planned and unplanned, is primarily to blame for the price increases. They add prices could spike another 25 to 75 cents before everything is worked out. Recent price hikes come even as oil prices have dropped below $80 a barrel.
CQ on time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Well, expect some delays as you work your way there on the Beltway 215 westbound at Gillespie. Those delays are caused by those lane restrictions on that transition ramp, those merging from 215 west to Interstate 15 north. Only one lane is available there until November 2nd.
Gather round. I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local for Tuesday, September 27th. Good to have you with us. We are closing in on Election Day, 42 days to Election Day, which is November 8th, 25 days to the start of early voting, and no better person to have on to lead off the show than Megan Barth, the editor-in-chief of the NevadaGlobe.com. She joins us from points unknown. Where are you calling us from today?
From parts unknown.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. I love that. Let me just ask you, the big major story, and we carried it on the newscast that we just heard, two city council members in a legal fight. Can you bring us the backstory? I know you've covered it extensively in the NevadaGlobe.com.
Yeah, the Nevada Globe actually got the scoop back, gosh, a couple months ago now, that there was going to be a lawsuit filed against Michelle Fiore, minimally. And we reported on it at that time. The lawsuit was to be filed by Victoria Seaman. And the lawsuit was filed yesterday. We have a copy of the lawsuit in a PDF format in our coverage of that lawsuit. And in the lawsuit, it claims that Michelle Fiore assaulted Councilwoman Victoria Seaman. They were both councilwomen at the time. They still are. Michelle Fiore, of course, is running for treasurer. But Councilwoman Fiore assaulted, and these are allegations, Victoria Seaman, to the point where her hair was pulled, I believe her finger was broken, and the footage that was obtained in City Hall was destroyed before the Review Journal could receive the evidence of the allegations. And this happened months ago. The City Hall, I guess, has a policy that video evidence or video in general is destroyed after 60 days. So from what I understand, the Review Journal had requested the video prior to the destruction of the video, but the video was destroyed by City Hall. So the lawsuit claims not only assault, the allegations of assault, but Seaman also alleges that the city engaged in somewhat of a conspiracy in order to destroy evidence and that the city in and of itself, thereby due to their actions and not sanctioning or bringing some sort of reaction or consequence to Fiore's actions, actually emboldened Fiore even further. And Victoria is also charging that the lawsuit names the city of Las Vegas as a defendant due to this conspiracy and allegations of cover-up.
Megan, do we know what the argument was about? I mean, was it about policy? Was it a personal thing? What was it that sparked this fight?
That's a good question. I am not 100% certain. I just know that there was obviously a disagreement that allegedly, you know, kind of, manifested or metastasized rather into a physical altercation.
Wow. And these are two people that were, if not friends, were certainly political allies. Do we know what turned this relationship sour?
You know, not really. I'm looking back through my reporting, actually, as we're speaking, and I don't see the cause reported into the alleged altercation, nor do I know what happened perhaps between them personally or politically that would cause basically the falling out and the termination of a friendship. And I mean, if you look back through both of their social media profiles, they were always pictured together. They seemingly had a really strong and ongoing relationship as a friendship, and that obviously deteriorated relatively quickly.
That is amazing, and such a disappointing story politically. Do we have any feel for what the stakes are politically in this? Victoria Seaman's already through the election, so she's not worried about re-election. But in the case of Michelle Fiore, she's running for state treasurer. Any idea how this will play politically?
Well, I was fortunate in that I actually got comments from both of the councilwomen for this latest article, which is up on the Nevada Globe. Michelle Fiore told me that, and I quote, "The same liberal Republicans who supported my primary opponent are now doing whatever they have to in an attempt to stop me from winning this election and returning Nevada to a state of financial common sense. This will be no more successful than it was in the primary where I won the largest majority, or excuse me, largest margin of any candidate. I look forward to the truth coming out as soon as possible." Victoria Seaman told me, "I'm relieved today as now the truth is being told. Filing this lawsuit was my last resort. I have lived with the scars of this humiliating attack for over a year. I have been physically and emotionally distraught, suffering from physical pain, humiliation, embarrassment, and trauma during the attack. And because the city refused to adequately address or rectify the verbal, physical, emotional, and mental abuse by Councilwoman Fiore." So Fiore is blaming the liberal Republicans, right? For this lawsuit, perhaps lumping Victoria Seaman in there as well. However, Ms. Fiore just kind of brushes it off, and they both councilwomen want the truth to come out. And Victoria Seaman, as she expressed, believes that the truth is found in this lawsuit.
Why now? 42 days today. I think when it was filed, it was 43 days before a midterm election. Could this have been filed after the election?
Potentially.
There's no statute of limitations or anything like that that we're dealing with here.
I don't believe so. So it could have been filed any time, but it is an election year. So, you know, there's going to be things done that perhaps could influence the way voters believe or think about a certain candidate.
This is not the only legal battle that is involved here. We've got a tug of war over gadgets from the late Jeff Gehrman. Do you know what this is all about?
I honestly do not.
Okay, fair enough then. It's one of those weird stories where, folks are trying to free up the gadgets, the smartphones, the hard drives, that kind of thing. But we'll be.
I see.
But we'll. But
I'm, right, and And I'm assuming that there's probably an argument between personal property and company property.
Yeah. So this is a story that we'll be following, and I'm sure you'll be writing about it before too long anyway. I want to ask you, because we got some new polling in just in the last few days that seems to indicate a surge for Sheriff Joe Lombardo in his race with Steve Sisolak. You've been writing a lot about this particular race. Do you buy into this? I mean, I'm looking at Big Data Poll. I don't know what that is, but it's got Lombardo at a plus 2, 42-40. You got Trafalgar with Lombardo at 47.5, plus 3 over Sisolak's 44.5. You've got Data for Progress. Don't know what that is. That has Lombardo and Sisolak even at 45%. Do you buy into this polling? First of all, are you a big polling person? Do you look at polls at this point in a race?
Well, yeah, you know, I have to as a journalist. You know, we only have a certain amount of polls, but some polls are better than others. What I can tell you is Data for Progress is what you would expect Progress to be. It's a very progressive polling organization that normally has a 9-point advantage for Democrats. So for them to come out with a 2-point advantage just to Lombardo is huge. Big Data Poll. Not many people maybe have heard of it. However, I have, and if you've been tracking polling since 2020, they and Trafalgar were basically dead on in their polling, because they understood that there was a fair amount of conservative voters, specifically Trump voters, that weren't being included in a majority of polls. For example, 538 is a good example, who completely missed the mark when it came to polling. Emerson is another one who completely missed the mark. Quinnipiac, another one, completely missed the mark, because they undervalued or underestimated the amount of conservative or Trump supporters that would end up going to the polls. So those types of respondents, Trump supporters specifically, are very wary of polling. So Big Data Polling is actually a bunch of data analysts that have done a very good job. They have Lombardo up by 2, I think you said, right? And
yep.
Then Trafalgar, I believe, has him up by, was it 3 or 4?
3, 47.5 to 44.5.
Yeah, now these are huge gains, okay? So when we look at these same polls, whether it's Trafalgar or Data Progress, et cetera, Big Data Poll, Lombardo is actually gaining in these polls, where Sisolak is stuck in the low 40s. As an incumbent, you at least want to be over 50. Sisolak has never reached over 50. So this is big news for Lombardo. He has to be feeling good about this. His campaign has to be feeling good about this. And these are numbers that they can certainly capitalize on and continue to expand their message in order to pull in independents, pull in Latino voters, who will, and pull in the rural voters. And I've said, look, the rural voters can really truly make or break this election. Even though the rural voters may not have as many votes as, say, Clark County, but if we're talking about races that are only coming down to 1 point or 2 points, if the rurals turn out over 90%, Lombardo has a very good chance of winning this election.
What about in the Senate race? I have not seen quite as much about the Senate race. I know you've reported a lot on Catherine Cortez Masto and Adam Laxalt. Can you give me your feel for where this race is? As we mentioned, 42 days away from Election Day, 25 days from the start of early voting.
Well, the very same polls that you just mentioned, Trafalgar, Data for Progress, Big Data Polls, and also others, I believe the last 4 polls that were released last week, it was like drinking from a fire hose last week, showed Adam Laxalt in the lead. And again, we're talking about an incumbent against a GOP challenger. The incumbent is Catherine Cortez Masto. And again, she cannot get above 50% approval in these polls. As an incumbent, you want at least 50, if not more. So she's extraordinarily vulnerable. As I reported in the Globe, this is the epicenter of the midterms. That's what national pundits are calling it. Many national pundits believe it's Catherine Cortez Masto's race to lose as an incumbent, and she is losing, according to these polls. Adam Laxalt is leading outside the margin of error. I believe it's within the Trafalgar poll. And then he's got three other polls that back him up with at least a solid 1 point to 3 point lead. So anywhere from 1 to 4 points, Adam Laxalt, again, much like Lombardo, is gaining ground. You know, as we see gas prices again surge, I think we've added 15 cents to the gallon just in the last week. As we see inflation at 16% in Nevada, as we see all of our food costs rising, all of our costs rising, our housing costs, what the polling is showing is that the inflation and economy are the two main interests amongst all demographics. So this plays well into the GOP predicted red wave. Some call it a red tsunami. It does not play well in the hands of the Democrats, specifically after our inflation rate spiked to close to 16% after the Democrats passed the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. So the Democrats aren't bringing anything to the table as far as reducing everyday costs for Nevadans, hardworking Nevadans. We're actually hit the hardest by inflation due to ridiculous government spending. And the consumers, the voters, understand this, and especially the Latino voters are switching at a faster rate from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party.
Again, Megan Barth joining us, editor-in-chief at the NevadaGlobe.com. This is going to be obviously a choice election of and I think it's rather obvious what the choices are. Can you talk a little bit about the House races and the ones that you're going to be zeroing in on as we move towards Election Day on November 8th?
Yeah, I've been covering the House races, too, as well as the top ticket races. And all of these, Nevada, let's just make a blanket statement. Nevada as a whole state is a toss-up. There is no one Democratic incumbent in this state that should feel comfortable. When you have every polling organization, including the Cook Political Report, including NBC News, CNN, USA Today, all looking at our state going, well, geez, it's a toss-up. Cook Political Report early labeled all three congressional House seats. Amade is safe up in the fourth, but all three House races as toss-ups. So Susie Lee should not be comfortable. Stephen Horsford should not be comfortable. And Dina Titus certainly shouldn't be comfortable. And let's not forget that Dina Titus is on the record in front of a union saying that she got effed over by the Democrats in this state due to redistricting. So because of Biden's approval ratings, and because Dina Titus has been riding with Biden from the beginning, like she said, these approval ratings of Biden, these disastrous approval ratings, I think he's in the 40s if he's lucky, is pulling down, and the economy and inflation are all pulling these Democrats down in the polls and giving their GOP challengers an advantage. April Becker is leading in the polls. Mark Robertson, I believe, is in a dead heat against Dina Titus. And Sam Peters is also looking at a dead heat against Stephen Horsford. And these are all districts that were plus Biden in 2020. It's a huge shift in public sentiment.
Yeah, it really is. I know you're going to be covering all of it at thenevadaglobe.com, and I know we'll be talking about it every week. We're 42 days out from Election Day, 25 from early voting. I know we're going to be talking again soon. If folks want to reach out to you, if they want to find out what you're up to, where do they go?
They go to thenevadaglobe.com. They can find all my work there, as well as other news around the state of Nevada. They can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at the Nevada Globe.
We'll talk again next week. Thanks, Megan. Have a great week.
Very good. You too, Kevin.
There you go. Megan Barth, the editor-in-chief of thenevadaglobe.com from reaganbabe.com. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casal, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer Employee Benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees.